This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Entertainment Technology World. We're about to speak to Eric Frankel, who's the president of Warner Brothers Domestic Cable Distribution. Welcome to Utopia Media's Entertainment Technology World.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
We're going to be talking about Into TV. Tell us what it is.
Into TV, which will launch in January 06, a short 2 or 3 months from now, is what we believe is the first ever multiplex television outlet on the web. In a nutshell, we'll launch with 6 channels, shortly thereafter go to 8 channels, and consumers will have the opportunity at the press of a button to watch somewhere between 300 and 400 episodes of their favorite vintage, classic, and recent television series if they have a high-speed computer hookup with DVD-like quality, with lots of interactive components that enable them to view some of these programs in a way they never have before.
Sounds pretty good. Where are they going to go to get all this?
They are going to go to the recently launched, somewhat new, free AOL.com portal, just so that everyone understands. Up until X number of months ago, AOL was and continues to remain, you know, a pay service where subscribers paid fees and got a variety of benefits for that fee. In addition to that pay service, AOL has decided to get into the free portal business in a similar fashion to Yahoo, and they've had a very successful launch over the last few months, and this is one of the new big exciting program arenas that they're entering to make their site even that much more popular.
Does the portal have its URL yet?
Well, right now, this is something you'll go to AOL.com,
right,
and right on the front page there will be a button, you know, there will be the Into TV, IN, the number 2 TV logo and name will be there, along with a variety of promotion. You just, you know, click on it and you will end up going to our 6-channel multiplex, where you will be able to decide, do you want to go to our drama channel, our kids animation channel, our vintage channel, our sci-fi channel, etc.
How much is this going to cost people?
It's going to cost them zero. It's all free. All you need is the high-speed hookup, of which there's, you know, typically a cost involved in that, but more than half of the homes in America have those hookups now. And the way the programming is monetized is through short 15-second commercials that play in the programming. So when you watch a show on a traditional broadcast or cable network, there's approximately 8 to 11 minutes of advertising. On Into TV, we'll be launching with approximately 1 to 2 minutes. So there'll be, you know, somewhere between, you know, 10 to 20% of the advertising that you normally find on traditional television.
Have you calculated that that's going to be enough to help you break even, or is this going to be a loss leader to draw people to AOL?
No, we are optimistic that this will, over a short period of time, call it a year, two and a half years, become a real category of business for Warner Brothers and other studios and distributors whose programming we put on the service, as a way for all of us to generate revenue. And AOL shares in some of that revenue as the carrier and the promotional, home for the service.
What made you decide to do this now rather than sooner or rather than later?
Well, we have a history of Warner Brothers of being first. We were first with the talkie pictures.
That's right.
With Jazz Singer. We were the lead studio on the development and implementation of the DVD. And we thought the time was right after, you know, a dozen years of talking about real programming on the internet, and it's taken us a couple of years to get our arms around all of our programming and make sure that it was what we call clear for the internet, that all the rights were in place. And then we also were waiting for there to be scale, for there to be, you know, half the homes in America with the capability to watch it. So when you take out an ad telling people to go and watch this stuff, that they actually can, and that, you know, that it's not only for an elite group of people, but it's actually for the average home in America.
So it's a mass medium.
Yeah, and again, we'd rather, you know, and why we're not doing it in the future, why we're doing it now is, you know, we like the idea of being first and trying to create this business and plant our feet, and we've seen a lot of successful entities who did the same in cable, and 20 years later have networks worth billions and billions of dollars, and we'd be quite happy if we could replicate, you know, that success or a portion of that success in the online arena.
Say something about the content. Which programs, as a general type, or what years, what criteria did you use in deciding what to offer over this service?
Well, again, we launch with 300 episodes of programming because it's 5 series per channel, 10 episodes per series. And 3 months later, we launched 2 more channels, which will get us up to 400 episodes a month. And it ranges, you know, from classic programs, which could be things like, you know, Maverick starring James Garner, and it could go up to shows that have only been off the air for 3 or 4 years, like a show we produced for CBS called The Fugitive, which was based on the classic series and based on the hit theatrical movie that we had. That was a Friday night CBS series 3 years ago. Telefem Nikita that we made for USA Network 3 or 4 years ago. You know, to everything in between. We have a lot of shows that are coming directly off of popular cable networks or are 6 months or 2 years off of popular cable networks, and that could be everything from shows like Growing Pains that were an important part of the ABC, TGIF lineup, to classic programs like Welcome Back, Cotter, which launched John Travolta's career.
So there's going to, and in terms of quantity, there's almost enough for a person to spend all of their waking hours watching this these channels, isn't there?
Yeah, well, we probably have enough that could get you, if you did nothing else for a week and a half, but watch that month's episode, we could probably keep you busy for about a month and a half. And if you did the quizzes and contests and puzzles and clips that we're making available, we'll probably keep you busy for close to 2 weeks out of a typical month.
Okay.
And then the next month we refresh half the stuff.
Right. Talk about the format. What digital format is this material going to be distributed in?
You mean Microsoft?
No, I mean like MPEG-2, MPEG-4, Windows media files.
I think it's all Windows media files.
Okay.
And you know, you'll go to our set. There'll be a player. The player has the ability to go full screen, so that you see nothing but your entire computer screen is completely filled with a high quality DVD-like picture and terrific. And terrific audio.
No, this programming is designed to be watched on a laptop or desktop computer?
Well, we believe that's where most, you know, of our viewers will be day one, but we think that we're going to help lead the momentum to convergence to, you know, there hasn't been a terrific reason to want to take your computer and hook it up, in my opinion, to your large television set in your family room, because most of the programming were 3 or 4 minute music videos, 2 minute and 50 second movie trailers, or 1 or 2 minute, news clips. And now, you know, and then of course there was the occasional stunt, you know, whether it's Jack and Bobby or Everybody Hates Chris or whatever that play for a weekend or a week. But now is the first time, above and beyond things like Movie Link, where you could, you know, pay a fee and get a movie. This is one of the first, you know, if not the first offering of hundreds of quality pre-sold branded programs that people can watch for free.
Now, will these programs be streamed or downloaded?
Streamed. Immediate gratification, go to the site, press the button, count one Mississippi. By the time the two's coming out of your mouth, we're rolling the first frame.
Are users who are capable of doing it able to switch the signal from their computer to their television screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for example, you know, a few techies that I know already have the ability to do that, but we think we're going to have a lot of the computer companies all excited because supposedly, the media player is the next big thing that the computer industry is excited about, and we're giving them a very good reason to convince consumers to go out and upgrade.
Now, will people be able to record these programs?
Nope.
Not on their digital video recorders?
Nope.
Or not on their computers?
Right.
What can you say about the...
We have extensive Microsoft Windows digital rights management systems in place, along with what we call two-phase geo-filtering, meaning that in London, England, our system will know that you're not in the 50 United States, and accordingly, it will not send you the program that you request. And again,
is this program going to be available in other countries as
no,
well?
We're launching just in the United States because there, you know, a lot of our programs are sold all around the world, and every territory is different, and we can't breach any of the license agreements we have with the television outlets in those territories. So we're looking at we're programming this for the 50 United States.
So and in short, you're not worried that there are going to be piracy issues of this programming?
Well, you know, you can't be naive.
Right.
One always has to worry about that.
Right.
But in conjunction with our partner AOL, we will have state of the art, digital rights management technology, and that will be upgraded on a regular basis as necessary.
And presumably, this is also going to be viewable over a wireless internet connections,
yeah.
as well as wired ones.
Yeah. When you take your laptop out to Starbucks, and when you're having your cup of coffee, or when you're sitting at the airport, you can go online, go to AOL.com, and when your plane's late, you can sit back and watch Spencer for Hire or Chico and the Man or F Troop.
Have you had to give any consideration to redoing or renewing or revising contracts for royalties to actors, directors, and writers whose work will be used this way?
No, we have agreements in place that allow us to do this. And as a studio, you know, and as the largest producer of television programming, our business is based on providing large quantities of revenue for our participants. So there's nothing we like more than sharing our revenue, because if we're paying a lot of money out to participants and directors and writers and actors, that means that we're doing well also. So hopefully this is a win-win, and it's a way to make sure that we have more programming out generating more money on a regular basis, that we can pay out more money
okay.
to the people who worked hard to make the programming.
Warner Brothers has a lot of movies in its vaults as well as television
yeah,
programs. What's the story on the possibility of breaking some of them out of the system?
I think that's probably a next step. There were some questions about long-form programming on computers. People have been used to watching that short-form programming we've been discussing, but we're ready to go. We have thousands of movies ready to go, and we think down the line that'll probably be one of the next iterations. And as we build this multiplex, we can be doing the exact same, genre tiering or however we want to look at it on the movie front, so we can launch a family movie channel, a kids movie channel, and an action movie channel, a mystery movie channel, etc.
To the extent that you can project it from this point, what kind of impact on the entire ecosystem of video production and distribution do you feel that this step you're taking now is likely to have?
Well, day one, nothing changes the world. You know, what we just hope it does is, studios produce programming, on a deficit-financed basis. So unless a television program goes on to become a moderate hit, a studio, a producer, doesn't really make money from that programming. So we're looking in the television arena. We're looking at it as a way to recoup some of the huge amounts of money we've put into these programs on some of the older programming that's already broken. Even we're looking at a way to generate more money. So we're just optimistic that it, as expenses continue to increase in both the cost of production and marketing, we're hoping that it's just another new outlet that allows us to continue to do what we've been doing for so many years and what we've been doing very, very well, and that we, you know, we just have another additional revenue source that helpfully, you know, keeps up with the rising cost of television commercials and print ads and all of that.
If you're able to establish and build a market for long-form video over the Internet this way, do you envision the possibility of immediately recouping expenses by providing pay-per-view programming through format?
Yeah, we think that's another terrific opportunity. Whether it's, hey, you watched all 10 episodes of Lois and Clark and, over 2 or 3 or 5 days, and now I'd like to watch 10 more, and maybe those are 99 cents, or whether you can watch The OC, the day after it airs on Fox, which is one of our shows, for a particular fee, or again, whether it's a theatrical picture. We think those are all terrific models that we're excited about exploring. But just to get this huge quantity of programming, streaming, with commercials, with the interactive components, is a fairly large technological hurdle. So we want to get through this and satisfy all the viewers that we hope are going to come to the party, before we jump into the pay-per-view arena.
Okay, one more technical question.
Sure.
And one more marketing question.
And I hope I can answer the technical question.
Okay, what about the possibility of streaming live events? Presumably, we're talking about sporting events, but cultural concerts, other type of programs?
Well, AOL, our partner in this area, does that a lot. I mean, they, just 3-4 weeks ago, a group of people I know attended, a Green Day live show. So Green Day, after playing at a number of local area and national, all over the country, arenas, went to a, 2,500-seater, beautiful, facility in downtown Los Angeles, where they played an exclusive concert that both was streamed live and archived, and any of your listeners today could go to AOL.com, go to their music site, and look up the Green Day thing and press a button and watch Green Day. So you could have, on that Tuesday or Wednesday night, you could have watched it live, or any time thereafter until it comes off the server. People can catch up with it whenever they'd like to.
Okay. On NPR last week, there was a discussion of the decision that you'd made, and Anthony Zucker, who does CSI, was there and was asked, since he has a franchise already, why he needs to have a studio at all. Why can't he just produce his programming and sell it over the Internet?
Uh-huh.
Is that a threat that you're worried about, that some of the more established or even new producers might just use this technology and circumvent the studio system entirely?
No, because unlike the ability in the world of music, where if you were or I were musicians, Mark, we could sit down in our living room and record our solo acoustic record, and even more than that, with a 4-track or 8-track technology that we could buy for several $1,000s, we could do a fairly complex recording with close to zero cost. Shows like CSI are day one were probably, close to $2 million an episode expenditures, and as they become hits and they're able to raise the bar with regard to the production expenses and with regard to the talent fees, you know, there aren't too many people who are going to go out and spend $2-3 million for an hour's worth of production for an unknown brand and hope somebody comes to the party.
So essentially what you're saying is that there'll always be a role for studios as aggregators and financers.
Yeah, and potentially for networks, whether that network's called AOL or whether it's called CBS, because if CBS hadn't taken those billboards out, you know, in every city in the United States of America, and those full-page print ads and those newspaper ads and, you know, and flew the stars of the show around the country to do television interviews on popular programs we watch, it might be very hard to build a business for a new series called CSI, and there's about a, you know, there's less than a 10% success rate in network television programming, which means under your scenario, 90-94% of the investors would lose their shirt. It's a good model. It's a good model for the small independent film or short. If you or I were in school and we were making a nice little flash cartoon, you know, and we're doing it for $12 or for $1,200, it's a model that works, but not for huge Hollywood, you know, quality programming.
Okay, if the train's already left on this issue, let me know. But in the old days when there were three major television networks, and every program was appointment television,
right?
And millions of people would watch the same thing.
With
cable, that was bifurcated. That was split up into,
yeah, sure,
into, and so on. Although still, with that kind of cable cast rather than broadcast structure, a lot of people watch the same thing at the same time and can talk about it the next day or in other ways.
Sure.
With this video on demand, I'm wondering if you've given any thought to and what you think the impact will be, that everyone will be able to customize his or her viewing schedule and watch a completely unique combination of programming, and whether that has any significance in terms of national solidarity or anything else that matters, or whether this is a fine model and everyone should be able to control the timing and content of their media consumption all the time.
Well, the reality is, you know, it's not for me to really decide whether it's fine or not, but the reality is this is what people want. This is where people are going. You know, we weren't satisfied with three channels, so we went to 150 or 200. We weren't satisfied with linear schedules, so along came a VCR that allowed us to tape the shows we couldn't see because we had appointments to watch them at a later time. That's been replaced, you know, by the TiVo or DVR-like device. You know, people like Comcast are offering hundreds or thousands of programs and movies on both a free and on a subscription and on a pay-per-view model. So, you know, people are willing to pay money. We've all seen it's been demonstrated to get what they want when they want. So I just think it's a natural, you know, evolution, and you can't stop it. So if you're the largest producer of movies and television programming, the trick is how to come up with a business model that facilitates that without cannibalizing or damaging the existing models.
Okay, final question again. When is this going to be available, and where do people go to take advantage of it?
This will be up and running before the end of January. We haven't announced the official launch date. We want to keep people sitting on the edge of their seat listening, but it won't be hard for them to find out because we'll be taking out ads on radio and television and newspapers to tell the world about it. And all they'll have to do is go to their computer and
make sure they have their broadband connection in place.
Have a broadband connection in place and do AOL.com. You'll go to that front welcome screen. You'll look for the Into TV, IN, the number 2 TV logo, and click on it, and we'll welcome you to a world of 300 to 400 episodes of terrific, you know, Emmy Award-winning, Emmy-nominated programming there at the touch of a button.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks very much for talking to us today on Utopia Media's Entertainment Technology World.
Thank you for inviting me in, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.